It is Monday, March 26, week 22 in fantasy basketball. If you're still going, for many, it's probably your championship week or at least your semi-finals for those in head-to-head leagues. Noah will be joining me as always. We'll be talking about the schedule. It's a wacky one this week. Streaming is going to be interesting. We'll talk about some injury news and a few waiver wire targets. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. At NoahRubin22 is where you can find Noah. Noah, thank you for joining me. We're going to bang out a quick one. I'm on dad duty this morning. How rude of my wife to travel away for work and leave me with the kids. How's your week been?
It's been good. Outside of fantasy basketball, my leagues, I mean, not the actual like content creation, but I had my championship for my home dynasty league and I lost that one. And I know I've mentioned it before, the amount of injuries that I had, but it still was close. But I was starting like literally because I had Cade Cunningham in there, had to bench him last minute. Had to like literally stream in Evan Fournier. I think I joked about it last week. Like, oh, it's 2024 and we're streaming Evan Fournier. And I had to grab him off the waiver wire just to have somebody playing a basketball game that could potentially help my free throw percentage in threes. And of course he didn't. Like he shot 2 for 2 from the free throw line, didn't make another shot. So really didn't have much of an impact. But yeah, it was a pretty barren roster for a 12-team dynasty league. So that was everything else was great though.
Yeah, I actually had a not too bad week. So I was in two leagues still. So both in the semi-final stage last week, and I managed to win both. One was the Roto Baller staff league. So I'm in the final. I think it's against Alex Burns. So that should be good. And then in one of my home leagues, the one where we split and redrafted and did a top eight and a bottom eight, that sort of thing. I scraped through thanks to one TJ McConnell. Going into the last game of the day, I was trailing 5-3-1. Anyway, I was trailing and I needed five assists and I was 0.001 behind in field goal percentage. And TJ got me 7 steals, I think, and shot, I don't know, 55%. So I won field goal percentage by 0.002 and won by 2 assists, I want to say, which sends me through to the final. So TJ McConnell, I have to buy him a beer if I ever see him, which is highly unlikely. But yes, it was very close. I was trying to distract myself with work while it was going on. And yeah. So old TJ is going to stick in my team for the rest of the season, I think, and hopefully he can bring me some good luck this week. All right, let me bring up our screen. All right, so, well, that should say week 22. Week 22 stream targets. So interesting schedule, as I said. It's very up and down this week. So we've got high volume, low volume, high volume, low volume. I will tell you exactly what they are, but it's, I think there's 11 tonight. Let's have a look. 11 tonight, 4 games on Tuesday, 12 on Wednesday, 2 on Thursday, 12 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday. So usually it's pretty simple. You look at the teams that have 4 games and you go, okay, I'm going to stream players from these teams, but not this week, potentially, because a lot of those teams that have 4 games actually have 4 games on those really high volume nights. So are you actually going to play those guys? So I have listed the teams here: Atlanta, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Golden State, Houston, Clippers, Lakers, New York, Oklahoma City, Philadelphia, Sacramento, San Antonio, Utah, and Washington. So 18 teams, I think it is, with four games. And then we have 12 teams with three games: Boston, Detroit, Indiana, Memphis, Miami, Milwaukee, Minnesota, New Orleans, Orlando, Phoenix, Portland, and Toronto. And I've just highlighted Milwaukee and New Orleans on this list because they only have three games, but they actually play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, which are the really low volume nights. So they're the teams you want to target. That's the wrong way. And then we'll just touch on some injury news. Now, this, I think, is up to date. I jumped on and made some updates this morning based on news that had come in. Russell Westbrook is still questionable as well. That hasn't been updated. Questionable at this point, along with Russell Westbrook, Derek White, DeAndre Ayton, Matisse Thybul, Desmond Bane, Jake Laravia, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Tobias Harris, Alex Caruso, and I believe a couple more of the Nuggets have been added to the list as well. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. are also. So basically, Denver is questionable. They're the whole starting lineup.
Tobias Harris is off the injury report now.
Tobias Harris. Okay, so he's clear to go. And then players that have been ruled out. Drew Holiday ruled out for the fourth straight game, I want to say. Fourth or fifth.
Something like that.
Same with OG Anunoby. Emmanuel Quickley for the third or fourth straight game, Jontae Porter, Kyle Kuzma, Tyus Jones, Anthony Simons, Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, and Victor Wembanyama. So I guess what do we want to talk about here? Let's talk about, start with Boston maybe, because they've got Derek White as questionable, but as we know, over the last 2 weeks, they're basically cycling through players. So they'll have half their team out one game, then half the next game. We think this is going to continue. I'm assuming it will.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they would stop. Now, I know last week they did have two back, or I guess within the last week or so, they've had two back-to-backs, which impacted that a little bit. Friday and Saturday, it was kind of like the flip-flops. Half of them were available, one on Friday and the other half. And I'm talking about their key rotation pieces, except Derek White did play both of those. So maybe that's why he's questionable for this one. He's going to sit out. He's going to get his rest day. So, I mean, yeah, it's Peyton Pritchard season until, I don't know. I don't see why they would stop doing it. So maybe it's just Peyton Pritchard season for the rest of the year.
Yeah, basically top 30 over the last week, top 90 over the last 2 weeks. Close to 15 points, 6.5 assists. Doesn't really get you much on the defensive end, but he'll hit some threes. He's not too bad of a rebounder for a smaller guard. So I think he probably has value rest of season. If you've streamed him in, would you just view him as someone that probably needs to stick on your roster now?
Yeah, I would. Honestly, like, even if they don't, like, continue to rest everybody, or, like, it's not, oh, they're playing a game and three people are sitting out, three key rotation pieces or starters, they'll probably manage minutes a little bit. So even if there is a game where everybody plays, can't imagine that they continue to play them high minutes. So that could open up a little bit for Peyton Pritchard there as well. So yeah, I would hold him until, I guess, he proves that he needs to be dropped, but I don't really see that happening.
And Anthony Simons, he was ruled out tonight, had an MRI, no results as of yet, I don't believe, but he has been ruled out. Is there a chance this is him done now for the season? Do you think they it's Portland, who knows, but I don't know. I think there's a chance this might be it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance. One, it just makes sense. There's no reason for them to risk him injuring his knee further when they have nothing to play for, and they do have younger guys that they could get a look at, like giving Scoot Henderson more on-ball minutes, where he is like the main guy and he doesn't have Anthony Simons out there. I mean, Ayton's questionable, just kind of limiting his minutes alongside their best players to try and force him into different situations to see how he grows. So it makes sense for them to kind of hold him out for the rest of the season. And we've seen them the past 2 years really tank hard, like the last two or three weeks, And I know last year it was Shaedon Sharpe just seeing a ton of minutes over the final 2 or 3 weeks. And we really got a good look at him in a similar situation to what we'll probably see Scoot over the next few weeks.
Sneakily or quietly, the Pistons have got a couple of little injuries going on and players who have missed time. Jalen Duren and Cade Cunningham are the two big names. What are you thinking about them? Because they weren't really sort of jumping off the page to me as a team that was openly tanking or openly sort of just not playing their guys. But are they going down that path now? Like, have we – Duren has missed three games. I think Cunningham just seems to be they're managing this injury, but the games off are outnumbering the games played. So is there a chance that they're going to shut down both Duren and Cunningham here, or is it going to be a case of maybe they'll play and then miss two games and back in for two?
Kind of seems like they might just shut them down, and they may not say, hey, well, they're done for the year. They might just continue to rule them out, because it was 2 games ago, like after they announced the starting lineups, including Jalen Duren, they said, yeah, actually, no, he's not playing and James Wiseman's going to play. And then the next game, I don't think they had announced the starting lineups yet. They may have, but Cade wasn't on the injury report, and then all of a sudden he was out. So
yeah,
who knows if that's going to be Jaden Ivey with this next game. I hope that trend doesn't continue, because one, like, it's just frustrating, and not just in the fantasy space, like if you're buying tickets to a game to watch a player or your favorite player on a team and they don't say anything until 15 minutes before the game starts, that's annoying. If you're like betting on sports, and that changes a lot. So all those things just make the late injury reporting just very frustrating. So hopefully that trend doesn't continue. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all if Duren and Cade were both done for the season.
And then the final one, I guess the big name that jumps off here is Victor Wembanyama, who popped up on the injury report yesterday. I mean, as soon as he popped up on that list, we would have been fairly certain that he was not going to play. As expected, he has been ruled out. Do you think this is also the beginning of a shutdown for Wembanyama, or merely a way of managing him, or just, I guess, not managing, because there isn't really a major injury that we're aware of? Is it a way of just easing him into the off season and limiting the injury risk, I suppose?
It could be. I think that one's kind of harder to say, because there has been a couple of times where I think every time he's kind of like barely gotten hurt over the past month or so, it's kind of been like, uh-oh, are they tanking now? Are they going to shut him down? Is he done? But he's been able to come back and play. So hopefully that's going to be the case after this one game that he's sitting out. But it wouldn't shock me if they were very cautious with him. I mean, there's no reason, again, just like Detroit, there's no reason for them to, or like Detroit and like Portland, there's no reason for them to stick him out there longer, give him more minutes, and risk him either maybe further injuring his ankle, or having, since his ankle is clearly bothering him, like that resulting in another injury. Like, no reason to risk that in a season that's basically over when they can get other guys more minutes. So I don't feel as confident about him being done for the year as I do, say, like Simons and Cade and Duren, but I think that there's a chance that his games are pretty limited for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they do have 4 games this week, but they are one of those teams that where all 4 games are on those high volume nights. So maybe we get 2 games out of him this week. If we have a look, so they're against Phoenix, hosting Phoenix tonight. Then they're at Utah, and then hosting New York, hosting Golden State. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, none of it, with a team like this, it's, you're not going to sort of say, well, you're playing a bad team, because you are a bad team. But I don't know. Maybe he plays against Golden State, just because of, I guess it's probably a bit more of a hyped game, Curry versus Wemby. So yeah, maybe we get 2. Now we've sent each other 4 waiver wire targets for the week. I just thought that was easier than going through every team that's playing 4 games, because there's a lot of them. So that would have taken too long. So I sent you a few names last night. You sent me some. a little bit earlier. We'll start with you. I mean, you touched on this guy. Let's start with your first one, James Wiseman. You mentioned that he might be someone worth streaming in. I mean, we're at that point where of the season where players who basically don't play much the whole season are now viable pickups. Talk about Wiseman. Why are we considering him?
I think the numbers have been pretty good, honestly, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, even before he started their last two games. So I'm not a huge Wiseman fan, but he had been rebounding pretty well. And then he just got bumped into the starting lineup and had 24-9-4 and then started again and had 15-11. So they only played 3 games this week, which does kind of limit, you know, the value there just because it's, you know, 3 games versus 4. But I mean, it's, what is that? 19.5 points and 10 rebounds while shooting a ridiculous field goal percentage. Like, it's very traditional center stats without the blocks, but I don't expect to see Duren maybe the rest of the year, or at least not often for the rest of the year, maybe just a game or two. So yeah, I mean, he's kind of a rest of the season option. If you're playing a league that doesn't end this week, then that just makes him even more valuable.
Yeah. And I think if your league does go beyond this week, it's, you probably need to change that, because as we're seeing that it's getting wackier and wackier every day. My first guy that I had was Trace Jackson-Davis from Golden State. The Warriors do have 4 games this week, but they have 1 game on a low-volume night. So they don't play tonight, but they have a back-to-back starting tomorrow in Miami. So low-volume tomorrow, and then your 3 games on those final 3 high-volume nights, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. But Jackson Davis has been pretty good. He's coming off the bench. He did start a couple of games, but it appears that they're just going to keep him coming off the bench. He's playing around 25 minutes a night. Defensive stuff is where the bulk of his value comes. So he has 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, 1, 0, 3, 0, 4, 2 blocks in his last whatever game, how many games that was, 10. So he is getting you consistent block numbers. He's generally very efficient. He was not as efficient last night, but prior to that, he's basically shooting 75 to 80% from the field. A lot of dunks. So that's what happens when you're getting a lot of dunks. And decent rebounding numbers as well. So I don't think his ceiling is sort of as high as we thought it might be when he had that little period of playing starters minutes earlier in the season, but it appears that the Warriors are comfortable now rolling him out there as the backup, playing 25, 26 minutes a night. So if you need sort of borderline fringe double-double on high efficiency with good block numbers, I think he makes sense this week as someone you can just plug in your lineup and be pretty confident that you're going to get 100 minutes worth of playing time over the 4 games.
Yeah.
Your next guy. Let's go with, who will I go with? Let's go with Malik Beasley, because I considered putting him on my list as well. So let's talk about Malik Beasley.
Yeah, there isn't, I guess, a ton to say. They only played 3 games, but they're all on the low volume nights. He plays Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. He's not a great fantasy option. This is strictly because, you know, there's literally, I think, what do we say, 5 games on Tuesday, 2 games on Thursday, and 3 games on Saturday. If you have a league that limits the amount of moves you can make, just making him one of your ads or having him already just gives you that nice edge on those days. And really, he's giving you threes and nothing else, but he's giving you threes on days where nobody else is really playing. So that's where the value lies there. That's about it, though.
It is, yeah. He's very one-dimensional, but he is a little bit different to say, a Sam Hauser or a Sam Merrill.
Right.
His role is locked in. So you know he's going to start. You know he's generally going to play close to 30 minutes a night. So his opportunity or path to minutes is a lot clearer than some of these other guys. So, and as you said, with the 3 games on the low volume nights, it makes him a really smart add this week. My next player is Keon Ellis. I'll go with Keon Ellis. So he has been starting for Sacramento. Kevin Huerter is done for the season with his – that was a shoulder, wasn't it?
It was a shoulder, yeah.
So Keon Ellis has been starting, started the last three. Scoring is going to be up and down. We've seen that evidenced the last few games. He's coming off career-high 19 points against Orlando, but prior to that he had 2-6-5-5. Then he had a 14-7-0. So his scoring is very up and down, but he'll generally give you some threes, maybe 1 to 2 3-pointers, but it's really on the defensive end that that his value comes from. If we look at his steal numbers over the last seven games, 2-1-4-1-2-3-3. And then he's a really good shot blocker as well. Excuse me. He had a 5-block game. Now, we're not expecting 5 blocks a night, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if he averages close to 3 combined steals and blocks the rest of the way. So that in itself warrants picking him up. I think the minutes are going to be there most nights. Their schedule this week, they are a 4-game week, but like Golden State, they play on Tuesday. So 3 of their 4 games are on the high volume nights, but they are on a back-to-back starting tonight. And it is a 4-game home stand as well. So a 4-game week, all games at home. So if you need some defensive stuff from the guard position and some threes, and you're not too concerned about points, they're not top of your list, then I think Keon Ellis makes sense as someone to pick up. Oh, who am I going to go next from your list? I will go with Miles McBride. Talk about Miles McBride for us.
Yeah, he the past 3 games has started in place of OG Anunoby. We don't really know when OG is going to be back. So in those 3 games, he's averaged 46.2 minutes per game. He played the full 48 in their last one. He had 26 points and 6 threes. The first game he started, he had 29 points and 6 threes. And the one in between, in only 44 minutes, he had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and a 3. The numbers aren't great relative to how many minutes he's actually playing, but because he's playing that many minutes, and I think like Tom Thibodeau literally had a quote where he was praising his conditioning. So Miles McBride's going to be out there playing 45 minutes per game, at least, it seems like. They play 4 games this week. It's on the high volume days, so there's no edge there. But Basketball Monster has him 15th in 9 cap value over the past week, which includes those 3 games. A lot of the value coming from the points and threes, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, both good, and not really turning the ball over. He gets you a steal. The assists aren't really there when Jalen Brunson's playing, as I know he did have some games where he started with Brunson out and had really good assist numbers. But yeah, pretty much I'm looking back. So I guess at least since February when he started, the minutes have been 45, 40, 41, 46, 47, 44, 48. And then he had 2 starts earlier in the season where he played 36 and 38 minutes. So when he's starting, he's playing a ridiculous amount of minutes, which just allows for him to produce value, even if he isn't a great fantasy player.
Yeah, and it's interesting more from a real-life perspective, I suppose, that they've gone away from Precious Achiuwa playing big minutes with OG out. So they're obviously going in a little bit of a different direction there. So, yeah, look, if McBride is still available, I think you have to add him because I doubt OG plays this week. So you're probably going to get a full week of 46 minutes for he might play 192 minutes for the week, assuming they don't go into overtime. They are on the 4 high volume nights, but they do play Detroit, Toronto, and San Antonio, so 3 favorable matchups. And I would, if this was a normal coach, I would say that probably means he might only play mid-30s or low-30s because they'll blow them out. But we know Tibbs will just keep him on the floor until, even if they're up by 30,
He'll take him out for the final 30 seconds.
Yeah. let's just throw this question up quickly from Reds 22 on the final week of the playoffs. Is Cade a drop? Oh, let's have a look at their schedule. So they're a three game. So, well, he's already out tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So best case here, you're going to get him for two games. I would say, given what we've seen, he might play on Wednesday against Minnesota. I wouldn't be surprised then if they sit him against Washington on Friday.
Yeah, I may. Wow, he may be a drop just for the fact that I guess he sat both, or he is sitting both legs of the back-to-back. Is two games of Cade Cunningham making the difference versus three or four games of somebody else, even if he is a better player? Just because, I mean, even what we've seen, like past 2 weeks, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, 39% from the floor, a 3 turnovers. Like, unless you really, I guess the assist is really the main thing you'd be losing out on that you can't really replace. But that's if he plays. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think probably depends on your league settings a little bit here, but I would say, my thought always goes to, if I drop this guy, is my opponent going to pick him up and then he's going to burn me and get all these stats? So I would think if he's sitting on waivers, unless you can make ads right up until tip off, I can't really see anyone taking the risk on grabbing Cunningham, because if you have to add him, he's probably going to be questionable. You're not going to know until closer to game time whether he's actually going to play. I wouldn't risk a move picking him up in a league unless it was just one of those leagues where there's no lock time or no specific time that you have to add someone by. So I think I'd probably consider dropping him, which is, it's going to be tough. Like, he's so good. Yeah. It's a tough move to make, but we're at that end of the season. So now my next player, where are we? Okay, so we chatted about him, Peyton Pritchard. It's a fairly straightforward one. As we said, he's not really starting, but he's benefiting from all these absences around him, a little bit like a Josh Hart does that sort of, well, he used to, not as much anymore because he plays big minutes anyway, but he's one of these players like a Bruce Brown last year in Denver. Whenever anyone's out, he tends to play bigger minutes. He's played at least 30 minutes in 5 straight games. Really good assist numbers. So 8, 9, 3, 7, 13. Points-wise, 15, 20, 19, 23, and 14. So he's hitting a lot of threes. He's scoring relatively efficiently. Good from the free throw line. So I don't really see... This isn't one I don't think I need to make a strong case here. I think it's a pretty obvious one, given that Boston are just resting guys every second game. So your final one is Bruno Fernando. Welcome to the end of the season. why are we adding Bruno Fernando?
Yeah, so this is, I mean, you're not doing this in a points league. You're doing this in a category league. If you really need, honestly, help defensively, or maybe with a few rebounds, maybe with your field goal percentage. He did have 25 points in their last game, but he's not going to keep doing that. So last game was their first without Onyeka Okongwu after he was back for two games. And Bruno was seeing rotation minutes for a while, and the steals before Okongwu came back were 2-2-1, 2-2-2. He had a 3-block game in there. He's had some blocks sprinkled in as well. Field goal percentage is generally pretty good. And the rebounds have been pretty for a center, but gets you 5 or 6. But Okongwu's injury, like on the injury report, changed from injury management to just left big toe sprain. So that makes me think that if he, you know, isn't coming back this, he may not come back this year. He may not come back this week. Like, I don't feel confident about him playing this week. The rest of the season kind of depends because, you know, when they're in the play-in tournament, like if maybe Trae Young's back and then, you know, they're like, okay, well, we're already in the play-in tournament. Might as well try and win it and get to the playoffs. because they're pretty locked into that 10 spot. Like, they've done everything they possibly can to help Brooklyn get into the postseason, and it just hasn't helped. So I think it's a pretty, I guess, special circumstance for you to be streaming in Bruno, because he's still a backup center. But I used him not this past week because Okongwu was back for some of. Actually, I think I may have used him yesterday for the 25 points, or 2 days ago. But in my home dynasty league, I ended up having to stream him in because I had I think my centers were all Embiid, Şengün, and Jakob Poeltl were all hurt. So my only like center I had was Brook Lopez. So on the games, the days that he didn't play, I was streaming in Bruno Fernando. And some of his defensive stats and the rebounds were actually helping a little bit. So pretty specific circumstances. But the other thing is that the Hawks play a 4-game week with games on Thursday and Saturday, which are those low volume days. So I think that helps as well.
It does. Yeah, certainly the schedule helps there, but yeah, I doubt Okongwu plays this week. Toes can be tricky. You need your toes to be able to run and jump and do everything you do in basketball. So, yeah, I doubt he plays, or maybe he plays right at the end of the week. But I still think Fernando's worth a shot. My last player is Naji Marshall from the Pelicans. As we said at the top of the show, the Pelicans are one of two teams like Milwaukee who play three games on three low-volume nights. The Pelicans are without Brandon Ingram for at least this week. He won't be back. I mean, I could have put Trey Murphy on this list, but I'm assuming he's been added everywhere by now. That should be the case. So we're sort of left with Naji Marshall and maybe Larry Nance is the other one. Both of those guys, I think, should be rostered for this week. Just given that on those three low volume nights, if you can have anyone playing, it's going to be a win. Naji has played 24 minutes, 23 minutes, 18, 19, 23, 14, 26. So he's sort of hovering around the low 20s. He's coming off a 14-8 game with three assists, 13-7 with one assist, one steal. Well, he had a couple of bad games there, 4 points, 4 points, 11 points, five rebounds, two assists, one steal. So his ceiling is pretty limited. He's not going to blow up. He's not going to get you 30 points or a double-double or multiple defensive stats, but he can hit some threes. He'll get you the odd steal, decent rebounder, some assists. So this is more of a schedule play here, just given that he's on those low-volume nights. So I'd be, if you've got again, as you said, if your league does have a limited number of moves per week, he'd be someone I'd consider because you're basically getting three extra games by streaming him in because chances are your roster is pretty full on those other four nights. So that's where the streaming is on those three nights. And that'll bring us to the end of our list. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything we haven't covered? Any players or teams?
No, I think we hit the major ones. So,
I'm just reading. Brandon Ingram has update has just come in. Not that this is really related to this week at all, but
I couldn't find it.
Ingram is expected to be out 2 weeks, maybe three. But the belief is that Ingram will be back before the end of the season. So, definitely no Brandon Ingram this week. If for some reason your playoffs go into next week as well, no Ingram again. So we just keep rolling with Larry Nance, Naji Marshall, Trey Murphy. No other injury news really that's come in. Bam Adebayo is playing. Kevin Love is questionable. Yeah, so nothing major, I don't think. So I think that'll do it then for today. Thank you for coming on, as always. Now, we're not on tomorrow, that's right, for the Roto World.
Yeah. So, no more Q&As this season.
No, so that is done. So we'll be back next week. You guys, it's Easter all around the world, isn't it? We're not different
in, it is. In that.
So, so it's a long weekend for us here in Australia. I don't know if you guys would be the same. So we actually get Friday and Monday off work this weekend. So 4 days to rest and watch some NBA and do whatever else needs to be done around the house. What are your plans, I guess, in terms of Tank Me Later? We are getting into that. I know the Tank Me Later Dynasty League just finished.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, because we haven't really spoken about that, and I wasn't even close to the playoffs. So, but I do know that it finished up yesterday.
Yeah, you weren't alone in being very far from the playoffs. So, but it was Blake Pinkerton that won the whole thing. He's actually in our WNBA Dynasty League as well. So, but yeah, he won the whole thing. So we'll be kicking off some off-season stuff here soon. So that was, I think, a pretty successful first year. I'm excited to maybe compete next season now that I know that Wemby is going to be dominant because I have him, and it's the only league I'm ever going to have him in. So that's great. But as far as content, still just planning to hit the ground running after the regular season ends when blurbing and everything kind of lightens up, doing more podcasting, working on some, I guess, stuff for rookies as well as just general dynasty rankings and stuff, trying to do some, we'll call it like models and prospect models, trying to have more numbers behind everything to hopefully get some new content in there. So I'm pretty excited about it though. So it should be good.
Yep. We'll keep this show going even through the off season. And I'd say it's always good just to check in and talk a bit of basketball. Our playoff leagues kicked off yesterday. I believe, well, in terms of registering to play, the leagues themselves didn't start, but B-Dub sent out a tweet from the FBI, so at FBI Basketball on Twitter. There is a link there to our Discord, and if you jump into Discord, all the information. So it's the one he's launched is a pick'em. I don't know what he actually called it, but it's where you pick one player every day of the playoffs. Once you pick that player, you can't pick them again. So you want to be pretty strategic with who you pick. And I think it's a $16 buy-in. And it's,
I think I saw that.
Endless number of people. So if there's 100 people in the league, there's a $1,600. Well, no, because he's giving money to charity. So I think a dollar of the entry goes to charity. So $15 entry. So $1,500 prize pool. And I think it's 60% goes to the winner. So $900 if there's 100 people goes to the winner. It is a points format. So if you're interested in joining that playoff league, we did tweet something. I'll be tweeting something later today as well, and then we'll have other playoff leagues launching very soon, and then we'll move straight into our draft-only leagues for next year as soon as the season is done. And I'm sure I'll be on your show. You'll be on my show over the next few months. So we'll be here. We won't really be slowing down too much. That will do it then for today's show. Remember, check out our content at fbibasketball.com, at fbibasketball on Twitter. I'm at AdamKing91. Noah is at NoahRubin22. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe and like. Do all of that stuff wherever you listen or watch us. Until next time. Catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.